Very good afternoon to you, Shane Murphy. Delighted to have you in the studio again. This is our third week talking about all things to do with the mind. Last week we spoke on mindfulness. This week we're going to touch a little bit on depression and a little bit on mindfulness as well. So, first of all, depression. Obviously, there is a lot of concern about people at the moment, the way things we're living and all that. That concern is out there. So, What is a simple definition of depression?
Thanks, Eric. Yeah, I mean, I suppose a lot of people, when they hear the word depression, you know, it sounds like a terrible word and people just don't want to admit it and stuff like that, that they're feeling depressed. And they have this image in their mind that it's somebody that's just has, you know, that's just going around sad, like Mr. Sad all the time and hasn't got it. Basically, depression is a mood disorder. It's basically a lack of interest in doing anything at all. And people, you know, confuse depression, like, as I said, like that you're actually there's so many different forms of depression that are out there. You know, there's the clinical ones, there's the bipolar and et cetera, but we don't need to talk about them. You all have to be diagnosed with all them. You know, a doctor will say you're depressed by just literally having, you know, what they'll actually say to you is, have you cried much this week? And if you say, yeah, I've had a good few days crying, they'll actually say you're depressed.
Really?
Yeah. This is how the doctor will diagnose you. They'll ask you, how long have you cried? You know?
So obviously that's not a diagnosis.
Well, it's not a diagnosis, some doctors will actually literally, and then they literally move you onto the tablets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the first thing that doctors will do. But in my opinion, a tablet, which does work sometimes for some people that are very, very depressed, but in my opinion, it's a band-aid. So all you're doing is giving them a tablet without actually solving why they're depressed, why they're sad, why they're just like have a lack of, like, if the biggest thing about depression is that people literally sitting on the couch and have no interest of doing anything.
And I suppose just before we put a bit of flesh on that, what causes depression?
Can be anything. It literally can be anything. It's just some sort of a trigger within somebody. It can be something that might, more often than not, it's something from the past. It's something that it just triggers some sort of a mood disorder within you. There's no quick answer to that. There generally is. It's just like anyone that comes into me, I can generally tell you with the amount of clients that I've done at this stage that I haven't had one client that's actually the same.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always something. Anything at all can trigger. I mean, look, obviously, we know COVID-19 is around and all that sort of stuff, and people are feeling, you know, a little bit off, and something's not sitting right for them and stuff like that. And people are, you know, as we're heading into the winter and everything, people are, you know, are feeling a little bit sadder around things and stuff like that. Like, and that's, you know, that can trigger anything. Like, I mean, this pandemic is triggering so many different things in people that never thought that they would get it. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I suppose, like as we said, this pandemic is really triggering a lot of stuff. What are the results of first of all getting depression? How does it manifest?
Well,
as you said, you just said lethargic and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, there's an awful lot of different things that would actually go on that you'd actually have, more than likely have depression or some form of depression, like, you know, a lack of sleep, one of the big things that people don't see, you've loss of interest in doing anything. You just literally, you've things that you would have, you know, loved doing. You might have been the type of person who would go for a walk every day, and suddenly you just actually don't feel like going for a walk, and you actually just don't go for a walk. Just the biggest thing is definitely the lethargicness and the loss of interest. Another thing is if you're tired a lot, you know, if you're constantly tired and you're constantly sleeping, you just don't have the same energy levels that you normally would have, that's a form of depression. Another one, because we mentioned it before, is anxiety. You know, I mean, as I mentioned to you before, depression is looking to the past. You know, anxiety is looking to the future, but they're all very interlinked. That's why most of the books that you see out there are depression and anxiety.
But aren't most people a bit anxious about things, and a lot of people worry about things? Is that normal?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
You know, we have to. Our body, everything in our body and in our minds is designed there for a reason. You know, we worry about things. That's understandable. You worry about, you know, you worry about anything. You can worry about, you know, about your grandmother. You can worry about anyone. That's normal. Like, I mean, yeah. You know, you have to worry. You have to be thinking.
So at what point do you say, right, I could have a problem here?
Yeah. So, I mean, really it is when you just literally, when you literally have a lack of interest. You know, I have clients who literally couldn't drag themselves out of bed for 3 days. This
really,
be something
yeah.
that would be someone in their 20s even. You know, people always assume that depression is in the older people. Like, most depression manifests itself between the age of 20 and 30.
Yeah, you know, and that was one of the questions I was going to ask you. What age group was more prone to?
Well, teenagers and 20s to 30s. Teenagers mainly, especially around boys, around the fact that, you know, when you're going through puberty, it's triggering an awful lot of things within you. And there's an awful lot of stuff going on that you don't understand.
Yeah.
And it can actually trigger depression. It's actually more prone to trigger depression in teenagers. And, you know, if you'd say to, if we're just talking about depression, like a lot of people would actually be listening at the moment and go, geez, I thought that people got depressed when they were in their 50s and their 60s, not when they were young.
Yeah.
But the younger the ages are definitely more prone to the depression, more prone to the tiredness, more prone to, like, generally, if you just don't actually feel like doing anything and you actually, all you want to do is sleep for 2 or 3 days. Now, look, there can be a whole list of things around that, like lack of iron and all, and the rest of the things in your system. But if you really, not just the tiredness, if you just have a complete disinterest in actually doing anything in life. You don't even want to sit down and watch television. You just literally feel completely sad all the time.
Yeah. And that's the one thing that worries me when, because you just spoke about it already, when people go to a doctor then with looking for that, you know, there might be some physical illness rather than a mental illness, which what I presume depression is, that it's the band-aid is the answer.
Yeah.
And it's pretty endemic in this country, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose, look, any doctor will do blood tests and do et cetera. And once they've narrowed it, once they've got rid of everything else that it can be, then they kind of go to that it might be a mental thing, that it might be depression, that it might be, you know, it's something more going on than it. You know, I'm not saying that when you go into a doctor and you say you've been crying for a week, that they're literally going to say, oh, you're depressed.
Yeah, yes.
You know what I mean? They're
obviously
not going to straightly, they're actually going to rule out everything else, you know, before it happens, you know. You know, I had one of the things that you get from depression is panic. You know, again, that's a form of anxiety. Like, but I had a client who literally went to every doctor known to mankind because they were getting sweats from panic attacks, and the doctors couldn't find anything going on with them, and they eventually referred them to me. And, you know, the client was, you know, shocked that actually their mind caused these sweats and these panic attacks within them. You know, our mind does such fantastic and such horrible things to ourselves and our bodies and stuff like that. So when you're depressed, like, you'll feel it in your body. You'll feel aches and pains in your body. You're just a huge, it's very hard to describe unless you've actually had it.
Yeah.
So if there's people listening on the radio at the moment and they have a huge lack of interest in doing it, I mean, even lack of interest in eating, you know, normal routine things that you always used to do and you'd have no problem getting out of bed, if you feel that you just literally don't have the strength to get out of bed and just do, even have breakfast. I don't want to have breakfast. I'm going to stay.
And it is a very hard thing to understand for someone that is what we'd call normal, if that's the right word to call it. You know, that's very hard to see someone and like, come on, get out of bed, you know, you want to kick in the arse or something like that. But it is a pretty serious condition.
It is a very serious, like, and I suppose especially the Irish people were constantly saying, snap out of it, come on,
just
get up and do something, get up and do for a walk and all that.
Yeah.
And someone who's depressed, even though they might be forced by their mother to go out and go for a walk, they're walking and they're literally going, they just don't want to walk, they don't want to do anything. Like, it really causes a lot of arguments and stuff like that, because the people literally don't want to do it, like, you know, don't want to.
And what is going on in someone's head when they're like that?
As I say, it more than likely has triggered something in their mind.
It's a chemical thing.
It is a chemical thing. They've triggered something in their past, or something that has happened to them has triggered something in their mind. And, you know, more often than not, they're thinking about something negative that happened. Negative thought patterns are the biggest challenge with this. You're suddenly just thinking constantly in the negative. You know, you're constantly, you know, you're thinking of something that happened to you, you know, as a child or something like that, that you just suddenly remember it and you say, oh, I remember when, you know, I was, you know, with my dad and we were going for a walk and something bad happened and, you know, I felt really sad at the time, and that's triggering something with you in the present. You know, that's like when we were talking about in the last session, we were talking about mindfulness and bringing everything back into the here and now. And that is very important with depression as well. It's trying to bring it back into the here and now. But the problem is that when you're depressed and you're bringing it back into the here and now, you're even more depressed.
Right.
Because your mood at this very moment in time
is very low.
It's very low. So there isn't, mindfulness is great. And as I think I mentioned in the last session, like, that, yeah, mindfulness is great. But if there's stuff going on for you at the time, it's not really a huge advantage to be in the here and now. So if your here and now is sad and not in a great form, you don't really want to bring it to the here and now. But the problem is that you're dipping, as depression, you're dipping into the past, you're dipping into the negative thought patterns and you're bringing him into the present. So it's an unending circle.
So, right, how do you cut that circle? How do you cut that?
Again, an awful lot of things come back to routine. You know what I mean? As I said to you, and I've said to you, I think this is the third session I've actually mentioned routine. Having some sort of a routine, getting forcing yourself to get back up into the routine. Another thing as well is to actually do something completely different. Completely not normal, that you wouldn't normally do on your day-to-day thing, because your day-to-day routine is very important, but you need something. I know I just said there that people say snap out of it, but to a certain degree you need to snap yourself into a different reality.
But like you're on about the lack of motivation, lack of energy and all that, like, and if someone is feeling that, like, are they going to go in and do something different, or
well,
are you going to have to drag themselves out and do it?
Well, look, I mean, obviously the first thing to do is to go talk, if you have the strength to go talk to a psychotherapist or a counsellor, is actually going to help you to actually figure out, like, I mean, like, when you're that depressed. But, you know, I mean, that's the worst case scenario. There's people who just have a lack of interest, and, you know, just literally, you know, eating properly, you know, not a completely depressed like I have described when you're completely low. That's the worst of the worst.
Yes.
And in my opinion, the only way to do that is to actually go talk to somebody to try and figure out where it's coming from.
But for probably over half or three quarters people that have some form of depression, it is a mild form of depression, and it can be quite easily fixed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you. It's a kind of a mild one, like that you're just literally feeling very lethargic and you don't feel like getting out and you don't want to do it. You just need to a certain extent, you need to just shake your body and literally come back to the present and literally do something that's completely not normal, something that you wouldn't normally do. Like, you know, maybe you go for a walk normally, you go for a run for a change.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Something that's not part of your normal routine, just to kind of shake yourself out. And then the other thing is to start changing, you know, negative thought patterns is the worst thing, like, that you can possibly do, that you're constantly, so, you know, start changing, trying to change your negative
thoughts. And as we spoke about that already, like, we're programmed to think in the negative, I think, anyway, you know, because most of us will see the worst situation in everything rather than seeing the best situation in everything.
Yeah.
And that is just why we're programmed like that. I don't know. Is it our culture? Is it social media? Is it TV or whatever?
I think it's a combination of everything, really. Like, I mean, there's so much stuff out there around the negativity. And, I mean, we can say that, is it social media and is it television and all that? But people would go to the negative 50, 60 years ago before we had any of those things.
Yeah.
So it's just, it definitely seems to be something that's innate in us. I don't do research, though. I don't actually look into it.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you look on Dr. Google at any stage, you know, he'll send you wherever you want him to send you to try and figure this out.
Yeah.
But we are, for some reason, as I mentioned the last time, you know, in Ireland, we love talking about the weather. We rarely talk about the positive about the weather.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
If the sun is shining, it's too hot. If it's raining, it's too wet.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a great day. You know what I mean? There's something that we, you know, unfortunately these days, the thought pattern straight away goes through to COVID, you know?
And really, Shane, that's where it's all at. You know, getting back, I suppose, into our mindfulness conversation, it is about being in the know and appreciating things and looking more on the positive rather than the negative.
Yeah, it's like what I said to you in the last session. I said to you, like, that trying to find joy in your life.
Yeah.
You know, just to find that little moments of joy, because it's the same with depression. Like, you're just actually looking at your life and you're looking and going, my life is shit. What the hell am I going to do? I have nothing to do with. And I have clients who I say to them, find some little bit of joy in your life, any little bit of joy in your life. And they look at me and go, I don't have any joy in my life. I remember one client saying to me, and I said, I want to challenge you between this and the next session to find a bit of joy. And the only joy she found in her whole life was, she had a pot plant out in her balcony and there was a cucumber growing in it. And anytime she used to go out in the morning, she'd see the cucumber growing, and that was her joy.
And it's a simple little thing like that is enough. Like,
and that
it?
Actually manifested.
Yes.
The next session I'd say, oh, how'd you get on with joy? Oh, I still have that, but I found this and I found this. And, you know, people, you know, assume that there's no joy in their life, but, you know, you look at your life and you actually suddenly go, and they, you know, they might give you an example of that cucumber. Most people, anyone else would kind of go, that's not joy, that's not joyful. But to you, it's whatever is joyful to you.
I
guarantee you, if you really think about your life, you will see more joy than you actually realise that's in your life. You know, just walking down the street and someone says hello to you, and inside you feel a little bit, that was nice.
Yeah.
There's the moment of joy.
Yeah, yeah. And that brings us back a little bit to the journaling that you spoke about in our first session as well. you know, just to write down those little things. And you'd be surprised how many of those positive things that will happen throughout the day. And then they do, but, you know, we don't take any notice at the time. But if you write down, I had to talk with Shane this morning, he made a great point, and that made me feel good. You know, it could be something that when we go outside the studio after again, you know, but these things add up, and they do happen every day to every one of us.
Well, I mean, a lot of my clients laugh at me about the different types of diaries and different types of journals they have at this stage. You know, you have your anger journal, you have your day-to-day journal, and then you have your joy journal, and you're dead right. Like, just writing down, you know, geez, today I found two or three things that I actually am joyful. And what I'm trying to say is it's all relevant to you, and it's only relevant to you, whatever is going on for you. And those moments of joy are only relevant to you. Nobody else needs to do them. But that little, I mean, finding that joy is that little bit of warmth feeling that you feel in your chest when something small happens, and it might be fleeting, it might only be 2 or 3 seconds, but that's a moment of joy. And if you keep on putting them together, like joining the dots,
they'll
start expanding and start growing, and you will say, oh, I like that sensation, I want more of that sensation. You know,
and like I say it every morning when I come over the lighthouse hill there and I look out to sea, like that to me is a moment of joy, because I love it. It's something that's, as you say, it just brings joy to me to go out and look at that scenery. And because I remember a doctor that taught us traditional Chinese medicine years ago, and that was one of the things with Chinese medicine, and I spoke about it probably before, about replenishing your yin, which is, you know, just going out. And he said it might be just going into looking at a picture on a wall, as you just said, that to that one person, that picture brings that person joy. And it could be outside, like looking at the cucumber, it's a separate thing again, which is, and they're only all small simple things, and as you say, like going over the lighthouse hill or whatever,
but I mean,
bring
you can,
a bit of joy there.
You can put things into your life and into your house and wherever, of pictures of when you can think back to your childhood, and a picture of you and your dad holding hands walking down the street, and you look at that picture and you feel that joy. And if you're feeling, you know, that little bit lethargic, not feeling that there's as much in your life and stuff like that, putting little things like that into your house, that you just have this picture on the wall and you know to yourself, when I'm feeling a little bit off, I'm going to look at this. And then you feel that little bit of joy.
Yeah.
And suddenly that darkness and that whatever's going on for you, suddenly that lifts for a few seconds. And suddenly you can actually start connecting the dots and getting that little bit of joy and that little bit of happiness out in you. And obviously, look, one of the big things is exercise, getting out, you know, regardless if it's raining or what it's doing outside, just to get the endorphins moving within your body in some little bit of a way makes such a difference, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I keep saying to people, like, you know, when you're going out exercising like that, it releases the happy hormones, you know, which is the dopamine, I think, is it?
Yeah.
The happy hormones, as I call them, you know, and that's just getting out there and moving and appreciating what's around you.
And you see, the interesting thing with depression then is around the fact that you know that that makes you feel better, but you still can't actually motivate yourself to actually put on your shoes and get dressed and stuff like that. Like, but you do know, you know that that makes you feel better, but you actually can't get yourself out the door. You can't get yourself that lack of energy. So it really does take an awful lot of willpower and strength to kind of push past that and push that past that barrier of lethargicness and tiredness. Just push yourself past that barrier and actually go for a walk, or, you know, I mean, if it's lashing rain outside, walk up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
You know, walk from the kitchen into the sitting room. Just get yourself up, get yourself moving, get some little bit of, you know, the feeling, you know, of walking, you know, as I was talking about, mindfully trying to walk, like, and stuff like that. You know, anything at all to get your body moving. Because when you're depressed, you just literally want to sit on the couch and you don't want to move for the day.
Yeah.
Even the thought of actually going into the kitchen to get a cup of tea just doesn't feel, you know, that you can do it. But just push yourself past that barrier of tiredness, of depression, and you will actually feel guaranteed better, you know?
A new person, yeah. And I suppose that's a good way of summing it up, really, like, it's just getting out there and be positive and moving, positive affirmations, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Shane, thank you very much indeed for talking to us again this week. Have you anything up for us next week?
Yeah, I'm thinking about of something around feelings and emotions.
Yeah, that'll be interesting as well.
I let it sit, you know, because, I mean, feelings and emotions are a very powerful part of us, but a lot of us don't seem to connect in with them as easily and as readily as, you know,
and
as
I suppose
want to, you know?
When we mention feelings and emotions to an Irish person,
negative.
Yeah. And but we'll change that.
Exactly,
Okay, Shane, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, sorry.
Pleasure talking to you again. Okay.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Thanks, Eric.